Hey guys, me Dave, telling you about AdamandEve.com. At this point, you should know what their deal is, but just in case you don't, it's that good stuff, the adult stuff. Everybody's buying gifts this time of year. Black Friday is this week. Don't be standing in line with a bunch of mouth breathers trying to fight each other over a video game. Go to AdamandEve.com. Right now, they'll give you 50% off just about any item. Now, granted, some of this stuff might not be good for the family, but if you got that special someone in your life, you can definitely get them something cool at AdamandEve.com. Don't do what I did. Last year, I bought my girlfriend a coffee table book about the castles of Ireland. That's what she wanted. And it made her happy for a little while, but, like, would have probably done better if I got her something from AdamandEve.com with some batteries or some sort of cream or jelly or, I don't know, some naked people. When you select your one item at 50% off, you're also going to receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. Ooh, what could that be? And to top it off, they're going to even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So get creative this year. You know, just make sure if you do get some, don't get the packaging mixed up. Don't buy something with batteries and label it, to your mom, because then that's going to be awkward Christmas morning. But yeah, AdamandEve.com, use code BOOGIE at checkout. That's BOOGIE, AdamandEve.com. Use code BOOGIE, AdamandEve.com. Get in there and have some fun. Yeah, deck the halls, the balls. Ha ha, you get it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I can see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Try that again. Try and start recording. Now in the middle of shit talking people we know.
That's what I'm good at.
Yeah, that's what we're all good at.
It's fun to talk
shit.
That's
what we're all good at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how much I like shit talking. Like I at the end of it where I'm like, ooh, who said what? And then what happened? And then who was there? And I love it. I love all the drama. And I know how much of a hypocrite I am, because if there's like a Real Housewives show, I'm like, this is trash. And it's just exploiting people that can't socially interact. And then, but if it's with my friends, or even if it's just people I don't know, like if I'm at a restaurant and somebody in the next booth is talking drama, I love that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I got nothing on them, so I can just listen. Like, I was at Modern Eats, the old place.
The old place. Oh, yeah, near
there's
your
a place,
old
Modern Eats. Good rest. Shout out to Modern Eats.
Best turkey sandwich.
That turkey sandwich. Real good. And there's just these old biddies just going into it. If they're talking about somebody's kid. And then, and her boyfriend came over, and he was a real. He was left a lot to be desired. It was like old lady shit talking.
That's a good.
And I was telling Rachel, Rachel's like, you're listening to them, because I just hadn't been talking to her. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I checked out of having breakfast with Rachel, I'm like, I'm just listening to these old ladies just throw shade on each other's kids.
That's a good old person diss, is left a lot to be desired.
Left a lot to be desired.
We went over to Tina's for Thanksgiving, and let's just say that casserole left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. I mean, if it was me, I wouldn't have put it out. Mm-hmm. I would have, just by looking at it, I could tell. Anyway, I love it. I love it.
Do you have any friends where the basis of your friendship is just shit talking? I've got a couple in my stable where it's like, that's all we do. That's our only connection. Our only thing in common is, let's talk shit.
I don't think so, but I think it's easy for comics. Like, that's what you bond over. Like, when you haven't seen somebody, go, oh, have you seen so-and-so? Ooh, what are they up to? Like, you know about a social circle.
Mm-hmm.
When it's people, like when it's 5 people, you just all know each other. There's really no gossip because this is my theory. You're open with each other.
Yeah.
But like with comics, it's kind of like work friends.
Yeah.
A little bit more than work friends, because you could talk shit and nobody's going to get fired. Well, I guess they'll get fired. You know, it's not so much like, oh, I heard so-and-so jerked off in front of some people at a comedy festival in 2002. those aren't our friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's mostly just drama. It's mostly just high school drama.
Yeah, I got some friends where it's like, though, it's like, all right, who do you hate this month?
who's pissing you off right now?
There's always jealousy that you'll quell at night. Like, I don't actually hate that person. But can you believe so-and-so got a fucking SNL audition? As soon as they come out with the list of who got half hours.
Yeah.
Can you believe these motherfuckers got half hours? I think it's more rooted in jealousy. That's where the shit talk comes from. It's the boogie monster.
Oh, yeah, that's us.
I'm Kyle and you're Dave.
Yes. I'm just noticing, by the way, you haven't talked about your new tattoo.
I haven't.
Got a new tattoo.
Yeah.
New tattoo.
Looks like palm trees.
Uh-huh, palm trees and boop.
UFO going to the beach.
I like it.
I just figured the UFO would like, I wanted to get a California tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe I'll get the bear or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up one day and I was like, I just think it's just going to be UFOs hanging out by a beach. Like a UFO. And then Emily Effler Bond made it happen that day. Woke up, had an idea, and she made it happen.
She's great.
Wife of John Michael Bond. The three named, six named couple, three names each.
She's done all my
their
tats.
Their bond is them sharing doubled first names.
Mm-hmm.
And in John Michael Bond, comic and director of Dave's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Emily Effler Bond, at the Honorable Society on Santa Monica Boulevard. Go get a tattoo from her.
I don't think that's a double first name on her part, though.
Oh, she kept her last name and took a new last name?
If I had to guess.
Okay.
I don't think she was named Emily Effler.
Double last name.
Yeah.
Well, whatever the trigonometry works out with the nomenclature there.
Yeah, it's a cool tat, though, man.
Yeah, it's a little alien with a little green beam coming down on the palm trees. I was like, no color. I'm like, well, make the UFO beam green. She's like, I'll make it red. I'm like, red's sinister. We don't know what kind of alien it is. Make it green. Green's a neutral alien color.
That's true.
That's an alien color. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's good or bad.
Yeah, that's true. So what's going on, man?
If you saw an alien and had a red light coming out of the ship, would you be like, I'd be like, do you think aliens understand emotional colors?
I don't know, but I'm going regardless. Red, green, purple.
Even if it's like the most like the reddest, most ominous.
Don't give a shit. I'm investigating. Take me. I don't care.
I think
that stick stuff up my butt. I don't care.
Well, that was my problem. I mean, well, the butt thing, I mean, you can do that here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need an alien to do that. Mm-hmm. I haven't needed an alien to do it. I found out my damn self.
Lick them and stick them, fellas.
Lick them and stick them. Maybe that's what I'm just getting prepped for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when the alien's like, oh, we're going to do this, and I'm like, whatever, dudes. Yeah, welcome to my early 30s.
Yeah, early 30s.
Aliens.
what is a joke? I don't I'm trying to quote your joke. Dr. Kyle in the laboratory.
Oh, man, I don't know. Once it's out there, it's mentally retired. We got to go to the storage space for that one.
Did you go bike riding today, man?
Yeah, I fucking sent it. Yeah. Shredded.
What are you drinking, by the way?
I don't know where this came from.
That is a stupid
beer. Did you bring this here?
I didn't bring that. What is it?
There's a craft beer in my house. And I don't drink them.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel doesn't drink them. You didn't bring it over here.
I didn't bring that.
I have no idea where this came from. It's called Belching Beaver Brewery. Miso Honey.
Oh, it's a bullshit craft beer and it's a pun?
It's not. I mean, I'm drinking it. It's not bad.
You want to
take
a sip?
You want to try it?
No,
try it out.
Thanks.
Dave, take a sip.
No way, dude.
Dave, take a sip. I'll stop the fucking recorder, Dave.
No way, dude. I ain't doing it. I don't drink craft beer.
But it's like regular beer.
Fancy boy bullshit.
Taste it. It tastes like regular beer.
Miso Honey.
Just take a goddamn swig. How about that? It's not... Okay, see? Not a bad beer.
No, it's not bad.
But I don't know where it came from.
I wouldn't allow that in my house.
I don't know. I'm not going to throw it out without drinking it. And now I'm drinking it, and I'm like, it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like sour beers. You ever have sour beers?
I have not. I know that's a new thing.
I like Sour Patch Kids. I like beer, and they put the same things together. I'm like, wow. Okay,
is it really sour?
Yeah.
Hence the name?
Yeah. It's not like craft beer where it tastes like an ashtray someone's been putting their walnut shells in and then pissed into.
Mm-hmm.
It just is like a real sour, puckery kind of beer. And I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. I enjoyed it. The fuck are we talking about right now?
I don't know. I don't know, dude.
I would love to know why people listen to this podcast. Because sometimes I'm perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're charming.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Breaking the chair over there?
Yeah. Putting this chair through.
You just break my chair.
I didn't. I moved it. I am at the size, though.
Closer to the ground with my ass.
I am at the size now where that is always a concern. Like, I bought a camping chair a few months ago.
Camping chairs are. It's the recreational equipment company's secret fat joke.
Yeah. And there was one that I picked up and was going to buy because it was cheaper, and it said weight limit 225. And I was like, oops, better put that one back.
I have a friend who listens. I won't name his name. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, boy.
Sorry about that.
It was like a growl. Not only just camping, not even just size, but I think like the duration of the sit.
Uh-huh.
When you're like, all right, here's the campfire. And we're going to be here for about 7 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so you don't even notice it, like the aluminum slowly bending until that like that sixth time you're trying to get off the ground to go piss in the wood and you realize like, oh, I'm just sitting on the ground. I'm level.
Who is that?
My knees aren't bent.
Who did that?
My friend Bob. Bob. Bob's my friend I talked to Bob.
Do I know Bob?
No, he's a hometown buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you gotta be careful, cause like.
But you buy the shit like there's like lawn chairs where you're like, there's no way I'm spending $60 on a camping chair. These are $7 in a bin in front of the place. Those are the ones. I'm not blaming it on the weight. I'm blaming it on the quality of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit on the weight.
There's a
a little bit.
I won't say it.
What do you want to say?
Yeah,
Dave?
I was gonna say. I knew a big person that would bring their own chair to comedy shows, and it looked like it was custom made. Like, not that it was so big, but like reinforced. Like that was like a Orange County Choppers made this fucking chair.
Why? Because there was a bunch of corn dick bullshit hanging up the sides of it. It's a fucking anodized Superman logo. On fire on the side of it.
But no, it looked like a $125 chair.
Well, I'm not body shamed, but like, mm-hmm. like those chair, like the shittiest folding chairs you can put out,
mm-hmm.
or the shittiest camp chairs you can get are trash. Like, it's $6,
mm-hmm.
or I think maybe $10. If you go to Walmart, they got them out in front of the foldable mm-hmm. lounge for $10 and plan on using that for one night.
Yeah.
That won't make it through a whole camping trip. I just spent. Like bought REI, like compactable. I like all the compactable shit. Mm-hmm. But they're like, oh, these are good. You can fuck with these. Mm-hmm. You can bang these around, land on them, shit. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, you get what you pay for in the camp chair department,
mm-hmm.
not the body shame.
That's why I never enjoy a hammock. I'm just afraid.
Hammocks are strong, Dave.
I know, but I'm still just scared. I'm scared that I'm going to, like, not that it's going to come down from the tree. But that I'm gonna I'm gonna create a hole in the webbing.
Well, how far up in the tree are you that's a concern?
I don't know. But like my friend has a
hammocks are the shit.
Has a hammock,
Dave.
And I'm afraid to get in there. Well, that and I'm afraid
hammocks. You want to do some trust exercise with a hammock, Dave? We'll set one up right now. We'll get you 6 inches off the ground and really kick the shit out of you in it. See if it tears open.
Well, I'm afraid I won't be able to get out too. Like, because you know, there's nothing to like brace yourself to exit. You know, it's like I figured just
like a fear of the womb,
like a Chris Farley bit. Just
you just roll. You just roll.
I guess so. Yeah.
You roll out of it.
I do like the concept of it. I thought about putting a hammock in the van.
I got when I go camping, I string one up in the Jeep. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
That's dude, cool. You could hammock the van? Mm-hmm. That would change your game.
Mm-hmm.
That would change your game.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to borrow a hammock?
Maybe. Yeah.
But I don't know how you're going to rig it.
I can figure it out.
Are we,
I don't know.
Oh, this has been recorded.
Oh. We've started.
I forgot for a minute. I just got excited about the conversation at hand.
That's okay. That's good. That's good, man.
Well, what this is, when this comes out.
Thanksgiving.
Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. You're going back to Chicago?
Yeah. I'm going to go back.
Deb and Pat?
Oh, yeah. Old P&D.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kick it with the family.
Is it just gonna Tegan going as well?
No, no, no. She's hanging back in L.A.
So just the three of you.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, there'll be other family there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got extended family there.
Without having sis to lean on.
Okay. What about the lady? She coming?
Nope.
Nope.
It's flying solo around the family.
Wow. What's your extended family? Who's coming in the extended family?
Thanksgiving, I think, is my mom's side, so okay. I think it's going to be got an aunt that lives down the street.
Uh-huh.
Aunt, my mom's sister, and her husband, my uncle, aunt and uncle down the street, and their daughter-in-law with their two kids will be over. Her son's a firefighter. He's on call. Or no, I don't know if he's on duty or on call. If he's on call, he'll be there. If he's on duty, he just stops by and parks a fire truck in front of the house. And
that's cool.
In. Yeah. The whole side. I got one side of my family is like a fireman, hunters over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get any of that.
Hmm.
My dad's a mechanic and mechanically inclined. I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
It's a real clueless origin story for the entertainer of the family.
Yeah.
With no discernible mathematic or athletic, brawny, manly skills. I don't know how the fuck I showed up in this land.
Yeah. This land.
Yeah.
You're doing fine, buddy.
They're good. They're a good group. It'll be fun.
Well, that's cool, man.
We'll throw back our respective beverages
and yeah.
See who smart mouths the most.
Man, see, I was talking about that today with a friend. My folks, great people, good folks, but they don't drink. You know, not that is a character flaw, but
had they ever?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Christianity pulled them away from the bottle.
Got a hold of their livers.
Decades ago.
Maybe they need to try this Belching Beaver Miso Honey Blonde Ale.
So, like, especially like Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, stuff like that, I always wish, like, man, I'd love to just crack open a beer with old Pops.
Oh, do you get frowned on if you're drinking at the occasion?
Oh, I don't drink at the, in front of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm not good. Yeah. No. I mean, they know I drink, and if I was just adamant about it, like, hey, I'm going to have a, you know, I'm sure they'd be fine with it, but it's just feels awkward.
Yeah, you feel silly.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but I always feel like I missed out on that, like, adult dude having a beer with his dad.
What about legal weed?
I've tried to. I mentioned that on this podcast one time and gotten a little tiffed. Mom was like, and your brother tells me that you said you wish you could smoke a joint with me.
Well, you just mentioned it again,
and
so
I'm like,
happy Thanksgiving.
And I'm like, why is that an insult or a bad thing? But yeah, she didn't. Mom didn't appreciate it.
My mom
that.
Still frowns on it. I'm like, you know, I go to the store and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can just go to the store like alcohol.
Yeah, it's legal. Yeah, I mean, not to get into that whole argument, but like, I think it's just a generational thing. But like,
what she doesn't realize is that the best conversations we've had on the phone is when I've been stoned, because that's when she could just talk and talk and talk.
Yeah,
and I listen
because
I'm like, all right, well, I can't do anything else right now. Otherwise, I'm distracted. If it's on the phone, I'm doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm drunk. I'm trying to counter the arguments.
Yeah,
stoned. I'm like, go on.
Yeah,
tell more. Tell me. Give me more gossip.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, I'll be back over there.
Maybe I'll drug him secretly.
Well, it's not secret because you're saying it here, and then your brother's going to tell him.
Yeah, I mean, not that he ratted me out, but like, well, I guess maybe he did.
I don't think he did.
I don't know. Yeah, my brother too. I don't. I have my brother doesn't drink, but he used to drink some. But I think I did get to have. I think me and my brother have cracked a beer too.
Yeah.
A long time ago, but he doesn't drink now because he's got Crohn's disease. He's not supposed to drink alcohol.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like fucks up your exit.
Yeah. But I did spend Thanksgiving with my brother and my sister-in-law and my nephew 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I definitely drank then. Because my brother's like, yeah, I don't care. So like, but none of them drink.
Give it a rip.
And so, yeah, just hanging out, you know, with my nephew, knocking back some Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't giving it to him, obviously.
I was. Yeah, the nephew was not of age.
No, no. He's a little tyke. He's just turned 6.
I mean, that's – everybody needs – you're the uncle. That's where you get your first drink is from an uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to wait a little while on that. But,
I remember – well, we used to have family parties. And I remember I thought the coolest dude was my cousin's boyfriend at the time. When I turned 16, he bought me a box of condoms and gave them to me in front of my family.
Ooh. That's
weird. 16. You need these now. Yeah, but I just thought he was cool as shit.
Yeah.
And then my
how old was he? when you were 16?
Oh, they were like in their 20s.
Okay.
And he was just a fucking cool dude.
Yeah.
This is a gruff fucking party dude. Like, 16, you need these. You need a belt. Oh, guy always wore. I just remember hearing him say, guy always wears a belt. That's how it is. If I'm going out without a belt, I can't handle it.
Me too.
I always have a belt on. Yeah. I was like, that's a man always wears a belt.
Yeah, in case you got to cinch it up and handle some business.
They married my cousin, who turned out to be a lesbian. So I'm like, well, that's a weird guy to take, pointers from about being a man when you didn't realize your wife wasn't into men.
Huh.
But I still liked him. Yeah. Even after they got divorced, he came and redid our kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was fun to see him back around. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on, buddy? I like that guy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Did a hell of a job on the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think my mom was very happy with it. Yeah.
That's always nice.
If I knew the name of the business, I'd plug it. Mm. You know, hey, if there's any Boogie Monster fans looking for a kitchen remodel in the greater Chicagoland area, my cousin's ex-husband, I'm not saying it's a deal, but
I wish somebody would have given me condoms when I was 16, and then maybe.
Well, I wouldn't have needed them for another 5 years. So.
Did I tell you the first time I experimented with a condom?
Put it over the test tube?
What? No, I,
how do you experiment with a condom? I poured the baking soda and the vinegar in it, and then it was the biggest water balloon the Boy Scouts have ever seen.
First time I thought I ever needed one, I unrolled it first and tried to put it on like a sock.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real dumb move.
Listen, that's the... You laugh at why they do it to the banana in health class, and then you're probably, the first time you're putting it on, going, why did I laugh at the banana instead of going, the banana was supposed to be my dick, and I would have been in a much better place.
Yeah, I tried to shimmy it on, like putting on a sock.
Those uncomfortable health classes. Did you have it? Did they show you that?
No.
Really?
Well, no. Hence the faux pas. Yeah.
They made the gym teachers. Did we talk about this? The gym teachers. Like, I guess the I don't know if it was a budget thing or they're like the gym teachers are getting off too easy. So they had to teach health/sex ed and driver's ed.
Interesting.
Because like you're a gym teacher, you don't do shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so guess what you're getting? Like, so for the whole year of your life, just being like, do a layup. No, do a different layup.
Do a layup.
They would also have to get in a car with someone who's never driven before.
Oof, that's scary.
And also be responsible for that individual being sexually responsible. So shout out to gym teachers in District 88, Addison, Illinois. Mm. For what you got for relaxing all year, they put the fucking hurt on them.
Good for them.
When it came to sex ed and life and death. Driver's ed and sex ed.
Oh, man.
Well, am I rambling, Dave?
No, you're fine, buddy. That's what we do. You excited about Thanksgiving? Let's say you got the typical spread. You got anything you might want to have for Thanksgiving.
Right.
What's the perfect plate look like for you?
Well, Deb's doing it this year. I got to say that my family, it's always traditional dishes, but they crush it.
Okay.
And it is like the most Midwestern thing, not a green item in sight.
Seriously, no green.
If you want to count the broccoli in the broccoli cheese casserole as a vegetable dish, then that's it.
Okay. But there's
salad, get the fuck out of here.
Huh.
A salad would be drop kicked off the porch if you showed up with
really?
This is Midwest in cold weather.
Yeah.
Nobody's fucking around with room temperature foods.
Yeah. It's all hot steamy, cheesy stuff.
Straight up, yeah. Cheesy, potato-y. And I'm not – this is not a complaint.
So what are you getting?
Mom, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. All the years I bust on you for making broccoli cheese casserole every year, it is very good.
That sounds good.
It was just every event.
Yeah.
Like she had her dish, the go-to dish that people liked. And then once you hear, like the year you don't make it, where is it? Like, you're never going to challenge yourself and make a new thing. You're going to, like, this is what the people love.
Yeah.
But it is good. It's very good. Just broccoli cheese casserole. Yeah, scalloped potatoes.
Write that down. Ooh.
Maybe I'll get some Deb recipes up here.
Yeah.
Some Deb recipes. Oh,
man. So what else you putting on your plate?
Okay. When we're doing this, you know, obviously, Thanksgiving, you're having turkey and you got a ham.
Mm-hmm. Turkey and a ham.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I can't. Ham's never going to be. All this bacon overload, this bacon fuck fest that's happened in the last 5 years, and nobody's tipping a hat to ham?
Mm-hmm.
To ham? The OG fucking pig meat that we all love?
Yeah.
Ham's king of that.
Yeah. Great breakfast meat, too.
Great. Ugh. Anytime you need a meat, meat.
Scrambled eggs with some cheese on.
Rachel never heard of a ham steak.
Really?
What's a ham steak? I'm like, it's a huge piece of ham.
A little thick-ass piece of ham?
It's a big piece of ham.
Oh, man. A little fat around the edges.
Giving you with a bone in it.
Ooh, bone in.
Like whenever, like, somebody was stealing, like whenever, like, in Tom and Jerry cartoons, when Tom was taking the, Tom the cat, Tomcat. Yeah. Why not? Sure.
Uh-huh. I think so, yeah.
When they, like, you'd open the fridge, and what would be the meat?
Big-ass ham.
Leg of lamb.
Yeah, leg of lamb. Another
leg of, what do they call the ham? Ham hock? What is that?
Well, ham hock is,
what's
like
the leg of a ham?
That's the ham. That's just, yeah, the ham.
But when it's big and it's right, you could hold one end of it?
Shank.
Ham shank.
Yeah.
And so that's where you'd cut the ham steak slices off with the bone in it.
Yeah.
I had a revelation today where I'm like upset with, like, I'm getting like soft towards animals when I'm trying to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's right,
mm-hmm.
but I was on my bike ride today, communing with nature, and I kind of thought, like, all right, it's okay to eat meat if the people, it's not okay, but to me, as if at least I would love to know that the animal's respected while it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
But then also you're doing something with, like, all right, we're going to eat this animal, make that animal taste. Like, respect what you're doing with the flesh of that animal.
Oh, absolutely.
Not like fast food or just some, like, and here's some chicken thrown in the thing.
Yeah.
But, like, we're going to Blood So's in a couple of, like, oh, you're smoking. You're taking pride in what you're doing with it. You still, the animal, I would still hope the animal, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to excuse why, what I'll allow into my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for a pig, you don't have to do anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be delicious. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Well, you got to do a little something to it.
What do you got to do to a ham?
Smoke it.
Is that what happens to a ham?
That's why it's ham. Yeah.
That's why it's ham? Mm-hmm. It's not just ham because we can't call it the thing that it is?
No. I think ham implies that it has been smoked.
Chicken's the only animal where you call it the part of the chicken that it was when it was alive.
Fish.
But fish is just fish.
Yeah. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Fish is a consumable noun.
Yeah, we don't go
and eat. An animal noun.
Yeah, steak, burger, steak, ham,
burger,
ribs.
Types of steak. You don't say, like, this is the leg of the cow. Yeah. This is the stomach of the cow. This is the face. Mexican food, like cabeza, like lengua.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But it's like to take a step away from it to make it not have the same. Like, we don't have wings, so you can say, oh, chicken wings, chicken breasts. I am involved with breasts. But either way, I'm excited about the ham-turkey combo.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have a family that I think a lot of them shy away from the dark meat a little bit. So that means I get to dive into it. Ugh. But I'm looking at it as an advantageous.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Advantasia.
Uh-huh.
It's my version of Fantasia, but it's real creepy. I'm gonna fuck them elephants.
I don't even know. I don't get the reference.
Was there elephants in Fantasia?
I never saw it. I never gave a shit about Disney movies. Was that a Disney movie? I never cared.
Remember my dad be like, if anybody's family was like hardcore. We'd always go to Disney World because my dad worked for Eastern Airlines, so we would get like cheap flights, and there was like a co-partnership, so those are vacation. Epcot Center was the fucking tits when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Like the rides, Disneyland, fucking Mickey, Goofy, and all that shit, but to go from world to world.
Yeah.
I credit Epcot Center for my excitement about, my curiosity for other cultures.
Huh.
You know me, Dave. How curious am I about other cultures all the time?
You won't shut up about it.
Yeah. I'm like, what are those fucking Mexicans up to? You know, I'm always curious about other cultures. This episode's gone to shit. Do you know we've been recording for 53 minutes already?
No,
it's 27 minutes. It seems like we've been talking out our ass for a minute.
Oh, God. Right. Oh, that's so funny.
But Epcot Center's boss as fuck, and you should go to it. You could, like, just... Like, all of a sudden, look, oh, I'm in Spain, and then you just click over, I'm in France, oh, shit, click over, I'm in Egypt. I don't know if they got an Egypt. I think I remember them being all pretty white countries to a fault. Well, Asian, they had Asian countries. But I don't remember, like, an Africa section or anything, or like a, or an Indian section.
When I was a kid, we didn't go to many, we didn't have many vacations, only because my mother is disabled. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about that. Yeah. She's in a wheelchair.
Fucking, you gotta get her to Disney World. That's the prime treatment at Disney World.
But just, you know, she didn't travel well.
Yeah.
So we didn't do a lot of vacationing when I was a kid. But one year, I don't know what happened. Like, I think my dad had like a good year. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, or maybe he got, maybe the office he worked for, like the business he worked for, hooked him up with some tickets or something. But we went down to – is it – which one's in Florida? Disney World. Went to Disney World. Only time I've ever been. I was probably 11, mm-hmm. and it was a big deal. Like, everybody – all four of us, me and my brother, mom and dad, we all went down there. It's about a – from the Atlanta area, it's about an 8 or 9 hour drive. So that was a trek back then and for us. And I just remember the coolest part to me at 11 – was hanging out at the hotel pool. One night we got to hang out at the pool, and somehow we got pizza delivered or something, and that was the highlight of the trip. It's like, I didn't give a shit about Mickey and all that stuff. I was like, dude, let me hang out at this pool, eat this pizza. That's good.
The vacation that my sister and I discovered that, like, off-road game where it was, like, the red, blue, and yellow steering wheels, and it was the shittiest little dirt trip.
Yeah.
It was some, like, we're going to go to Florida, and there's going to be beaches and all this shit. And the pool had a clubhouse with that game in it. Ooh. Me and Tegan were like, we need more quarters to play this off-road game. My parents were like, the beach, and there's the ocean. I'm like, this game's shit right now. I'm sorry, we need quarters to play this game. It's the best thing we've ever done in our lives. And I just found a PlayStation Switch game that's just like it. I was like, fucking bitch your ass, play this game. My parents went to Disney World for their 40th anniversary. My mom got sick because she rode too many big rides.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, no holds barred.
Good job, Deb.
Deb Kinane, take no prisoner.
Just maxing it out.
Just hitting like coasters, hitting the coasters.
Wow.
And then just having to sit there like, I was so dizzy. I'm like, yeah, you're not supposed to be on those. You're not like, it's not like it's a small world shit. Like, she's straight up getting in there with the teens.
I could see that.
Like the over the head, like the clavicle trap coasters.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this thing shook me all over the place. Like, that's what they do. They try to kill you. And she's like, I didn't feel good the whole next day. I'm like, what? Ugh. Nobody does. Got off, probably smoked a Marlboro Ultralight 100 right afterwards. Like, that was a rough ride. Chugged down a hundo.
Huh. I don't really know. Those are the long ones.
Those are the long ones, yeah. Smoked a long ultralight, but longer than her regular cigarettes.
I smoked a cigar the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
I get like a quarter through a cigar, I'm like, I don't need any more of this.
Didn't give a shit about it. I was hanging out with our buddy old, not to name drop, but Rory Scovel had a little aristocratic event.
Soiree?
Had a little soiree. Where, like, and I guess I appreciate the planning that went into it, but, like, had a couple dudes over, and he for the purpose of – Rory's a family man now.
Yeah.
Got a beautiful little daughter, got a wonderful wife, Jordan. But
not subscribing to population control.
Exactly.
Coming up soon.
But Jordan was out of town, so it was his chance to have a little boys' night out or boys' night in. I heard that too. What was that?
Are there noises in here?
Yes.
I thought this place was haunted when I was watching haunted shows real high last night.
Yeah, I did hear that, whatever that was. You hear that?
I mean, it could very well be the neighbors I share a wall with.
That's true. Well, we're not sharing this wall with them. So, yeah, anyway.
It echoes.
But yeah, he got some good steaks, not just like some Vons, you know, discount rack shit. He went, got like McCall's. Butcher steaks. And some scotch and some cigars, just sitting around like a bunch of aristocrats.
Well, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
How did he make the steaks?
Oh, well, I made the steaks. I think.
How'd you make the steaks?
I think that was one of the provisions of whether or not I come is like, well, you can come. You got to make the steaks. But no, like he did spring it on me at the last second. He's like, so you want to just go ahead and handle this? I was like, yeah, I probably should.
Well, when you got, well it's like assembling a commando unit.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, well, Dave's going to handle a steak. So-and-so knows about cigars. He's going to pick those up.
But yeah, I kept inhaling it by accident.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Not what you're supposed to do.
I'm from a cigarette smoking perspective. I'm like, yeah, you're just supposed to like hold the smoke in your mouth.
I don't get it. Someone who
doesn't want to get stoned, but yeah. Doesn't want to look uncool.
That's exactly how you're supposed to smoke a cigar. Yeah. And I didn't.
Supposed to taste nice.
I've had a cigar before, but I don't know. Just
it's not my thing.
Not my thing either. I felt like a real fancy boy.
Well, yeah, it's a bit like this is a lot, but I could see like where I guess the Cuban thing is you dip the end in rum when you're smoking them.
Really?
I don't know. My sister and my dad went down to Cuba a couple years ago, and they said that was a thing. They both got sick smoking cigars.
Yeah.
I made skillet steaks here the other night. Your boy cooked. Really? Davey boy cooked.
Did you really?
Overdid them.
Did you overdo them? How'd you do it? Give me a step-by-step process.
I wanted a real good, I got some boneless ribeyes.
Okay, did you pull it out of the fridge for 30 minutes before you cooked them?
They were, I don't know, about 30 minutes, uh-huh. But they were closer to room temperature than they were.
Good.
When I didn't just take them out and cook them.
What kind of pan do you use? Cast iron?
Cast iron. Big one. Did them both at the same time.
Good, good.
For me and the missus.
Get that shit real hot?
Hot as fuck. The thing I was looking at was use like some sort of high burning oil. I used olive oil.
Oh, dude!
Did I fuck up?
Yes.
How did I? Why? What did that do?
Well, that has a lower smoke point, but also you don't need any oil. No oil. You don't need it.
Well, I don't. Well, okay. Tell me. Thing I was following was saying like pan serum. 3 to 4 minutes on each side. I think they weren't as thick as I thought they were. I think I did it too much on each side because mm-hmm. I wanted a good crispy crust.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 minutes on one side, 4 minutes on the other side.
That's too much.
Big old pat of butter on top of it in the oven for 6 minutes.
Oh, God. That's way too much.
Too much?
Yeah. No, here's what you do.
They still were good. You know what? They were medium instead of medium rare.
Okay.
That's all it was. Mm-hmm. They were still fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. They were just medium instead of medium rare. There's no pink in them. Okay. But they were still very good. And I was proud of myself
because well,
you know I don't cook.
Yeah. I appreciate the effort. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Next time, I have my broiler technique, which is somewhat elaborate. The real basic technique is pull the steaks out for 30 minutes, cast iron skillet, no oil, hot as it'll go. Turn that eye up as high as it'll go for about 5 minutes. Just let that cast iron skillet sit there. Get hot as shit. While that's doing that, a lot of kosher salt, a lot of fresh ground pepper all over the steak. Boom, boom, boom. All right.
I thought I did too much salt and pepper personally.
Really?
But it didn't need any sauce, so maybe that was all right.
Throw that on there for about 2.5-3 minutes. Flip it. Turn the heat down to about medium. Then throw in a big old thing of butter. And some fresh herbs, rosemary, thyme, something like that.
Herbs.
And while the second half is cooking, that butter, tilt the pan and baste. Baste while that on that second turn, or the first turn. But this,
I just
the second,
put it on right before it goes in the oven.
And then did you let it rest after you pulled it off?
Yeah, they sat there for a moment. We made some asparagus for a side.
Let it sit for about 8 to 10 minutes. Put some foil over it so it rests, but it doesn't lose all its heat. There you go.
We should give – okay, we were supposed to talk about population control. We could just give recipes that would handle population control.
You want to get into it?
I mean, yeah, I've been having fun just talking to you, Dave.
Well, let me get this off my chest real quick since we're talking about
– you know what? We ain't got no fucking rules.
I got something I
got. Except for the fact that Rachel will be home in an hour and a half.
Okay.
No, like 2 hours. We got 2 hours. So, and we got to do the Q&A episode after this, so if you're a Patreon member, or if you're not, well, guess what? Ask me a question, Dave, and I'll answer it.
Oh, you want me to ask you a question?
Yeah, as an example of what happens on the Patreon.
Do you like cranberry sauce with your turkey?
Fucking cranberry sauce? Yeah, dog. What kind are you talking? Oh, wow. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. It's stupid.
What? Just talk somebody out of spending $4.
I don't. What the fuck? You know what I think happened? I think when the Pilgrims and the Indians were doing their thing, Native Americans, I hate calling Native Americans Indians. When they're printing up the first Thanksgiving menu, I think somebody made a typo. I think that was an accident.
What's wrong with cranberry?
It doesn't fit. Why not? What other meat do you have some fruity, gelatinous bullshit? Oh, we're having fried chicken? Where's the grape jelly? Like, who gives
mint jelly with lamb?
No, fuck that.
Egg
too.
McMuffin with jams.
No, fuck that.
There's other jelly. There's other jellies with. I don't put it with the turkey. I just like cranberry.
What do you just eat it by itself?
Well, the sliceable, like the straight up cheap ass sliceable shit. I love it. I love that shit.
I fucking hate it. It's just it doesn't belong, and it bothers me.
I'm gonna say that you have an opinion, but to say it doesn't belong.
It doesn't belong. Who the and like oh you know now this time
like
of year
saying, that's like saying candy canes don't belong at Christmas. Like you can't explain why they're there, but they're there and they work.
This time of year, you go to Jersey Mike's or Subway or something. You get turkey sandwich. They're gonna slather some damn cranberry fucking vinaigrette bullshit.
Don't slather it. Ugh, it's just a hint of it. I think this is a case of your taste being wrong.
Not a fan, man. I'm cooking the whole meal this year.
Who's the audience? Who's the
girlfriend invited me over?
Yeah, huh?
She's inviting her parents. I'm meeting the parents for the first time.
Really?
First time I've ever met her parents. And
this is a big deal.
Now I got to cook for them, so I got to crush it. But yeah, I was preparing the menu in my head, and I was going over it with her, and she's like, "What about the cranberry?" So I was like, "I didn't even think about it. Like, fuck that. No, but."
Goes with a biscuit.
I'll probably have to. Ugh! Don't put no cranberry sauce on my damn biscuits. But yeah, I guess I got to do something. I mean,
you never had like apple like peanut butter and jelly on a burger?
No. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's different.
Jelly works. Cranberry.
Yeah, but cranberries are bitter. They're not even sweet. Like, I don't know.
That's what they had at the time. We're celebrating the limited resources of the Pilgrims.
I think they made a mistake, and we misinterpreted it.
And the Native Americans, by not eating any corn whatsoever, but enjoying cranberries from someone.
But yeah, I'm doing the whole meal by myself, and I got the pressure of impressing the parents with my culinary prowess.
What region are they from? Where are they from?
They're from here. They're from California.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So. You show them some real cooking.
Mm-hmm. So that should be good.
Cooking a bird? Making a bird?
Doing a bird.
Throwing a ham in there?
Not doing a ham. I mean, maybe. I might.
Ham's like the safety net if people don't like it. If the bird's dry, fucking ham.
I know how to do the bird, man. As a matter of fact.
I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just.
We'll do a turkey brine recipe at the end of the episode.
All right. At the end of the episode? Yeah. It's coming up in like 10 minutes.
Yeah. You want to get into it?
Let's talk about. What we hinted at last week, and we started to talk about population control. When you're gathered around the family in the living room of a loved one or your friends, and you're all there, you look at that the just sharing in a meal, and you wonder how many of them shouldn't be there. Or if you're with family and there's kids running around, you'd be like, well, we didn't need those.
Mm-hmm.
Population control.
Yep.
Let's talk about it.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but it's such a broad and interesting topic that I think it's fine if we cover it again. I don't think we have talked about the specific point or topic of Agenda 21. We mentioned it last week. Agenda 21 is a non-binding action plan of the United Nations with regard to sustainable development. That's the code word that they use, sustainable development.
Okay.
Meaning, and 21 is in reference to the 21st century. So it's kind of, I mentioned last week, all right, back in 92, there was this huge conference, a UN conference, on environmental and developmental blah-bitty-blah in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And basically, you know, it was just, I think something like 180 different countries showed up or something like that.
Just to look at butts. That's where we'll solve some problems. Look at all these butts.
Look at all these Brazilian butts. But basically, it's just a blueprint on, well, all right, this is how they spun it. To them, it's an environmental blueprint on how we can, as a society, as a global society, be more efficient, more sustainable in the 21st century.
Sure.
Some conspiracy theorists think that it is coded language in this document that's basically alluding to population control and a one-world government.
Well, but also, fuck a conspiracy theory. Sustainable existence would have to lead to population control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to continue existing as a human species on this earth.
Yes.
There needs to be less people.
Yeah. And I
not
I
only
agree
stopping
with that.
The people that are bad, but less people.
Mm-hmm. So it's a moral quandary in the fact that I'm all for population control in the sense that, yes, we don't need any more people. We gotta stop the growth because where does it end? You know, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but like, you know, 200 years ago we had this amount of people. 100 years ago we had this amount of people. Now we got what, 7.1 billion?
You can't tell somebody else they can't do it. It's. I think that's the conspiracy where, like, they're going to make us sterile or something. I think it has to come from within of, like...
Well, you can tell. So China told them. China has that since 79. They've implemented that law where you can only have... I mean, they're not going to shoot you on sight if you have a second child, but they fine the hell out of you over there. They penalize you if you have a second child. So...
Well, at least they're making all the things.
But, yeah, my point is, like, I agree with population control, but at the same time, here's the point. This
I don't want that soundbite to get out there that you agree with population. You agree that the population, that the world would be better if there was less people. But agreeing with population control, like that's a broad statement of like, yeah, fucking start.
Yeah.
Gas in the elementary schools.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, no, but I agree with like, I have no problem with what China did, you know, regulations on... You just can't just fucking have 8, 10, 12 kids. Like, you know, that's Catholicism and the Mormon. Like, knock it off. Oh, the Bible's. Well, then, all right. Well, if that's the case, then just stop fucking. Like, it's not responsible to have.
I don't think it should be celebrated.
A whole grip of kids.
Like, yeah, like 10 and counting. Like, don't celebrate.
No.
That. Don't celebrate people with, like. I have 12 kids. Here's a heartwarming show about how about being like, look at this fucking mistake.
Yeah, look at this egotistical maniac who's got to have 10 little carbon copies of himself. But all right, that's the moral dilemma. It's like, all right, I'm all for putting regulations on procreation. Put it that way, like China did, but. Some people think that Agenda 21 and the UN, their motive is to not just to regulate the future procreation, but to also exterminate a great percentage of the people that are already here. That's where it gets scary. And
well,
that I do not.
Am I in that group?
In what group?
The exterminated group.
You want to exterminate the existing
population? No, are they going to exterminate me?
Oh, I see what you Well,
if not, I can then whatever, man.
Well, here's the thing. Some people think that Agenda 21 and the people, the NWO, the New World Order,
always creeping around.
They want to reduce, within a generation or two, they want to reduce the population by 95%. That's a lot.
Okay, that's not going to happen.
No. I mean, I hope not.
I would say it's more of a mental state. Like, where in our evolution does the mental desire to procreate for survival start to wane? You know, if they're going to manipulate anything, manipulate that concept. Manipulate the desire to have more people to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's out there like... Well, I'm having kids because I got to make sure the farm operates.
Yeah,
I got to make sure. Like, there's very few of us left. Like, now it's just I got that. That was my argument of talking before we started. If the government's really on the side of population control, why do they make it so difficult for organizations like Planned Parenthood or you know Planned Parenthood or or against the LGBT community, which is its own sort of population control, and that mm-hmm. they're not naturally having kids, but will adopt kids. That's valuable. And mm-hmm. to make them not want to adopt kids, kids that are being given up for adoption, and you're more like, if the government, unless that's just a surface level, like, look at us keeping the right wing fan base happy, mm-hmm. and it's a political move. Mm-hmm. If they were truly on the side of population control, they would support those things.
That's true. That's true. Well, one theory is that maybe it's coming from
a not just Planned Parenthood, but abortion protocol and stuff like that. Now, the Planned Parenthood obviously offers other services, mm-hmm. but
one theory is maybe it's coming from higher ups, even beyond our own government. Hence, the NWO, the global elite.
Yeah,
which nobody knows exactly how many members. First of all, nobody knows if the NWO is actually a thing.
Well,
I think it very well could
I'll go
be.
Back to a few weeks ago when we were talking about the underground tunnels and everything, mm-hmm. and how I think they are a thing because, oh, we need an underground tunnel built for our crazy bases to hide mm-hmm. from the aliens, but your country built the machines. And I know on the surface we're like at war, but I need that machine, so give us the machine and we're all cool with that.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe it's and again, like I said, nobody knows if the NWO is actually a thing. I think it very well could be a thing. And some people think it's made up of roughly 1,000, just only 1,000 people, 1,000 of the world's most powerful and influential people. So yeah, it's – I don't know. But they think that – all right. Well, what Agenda 21 is, it's a plan, and it's a voluntary thing. Like everybody who signed off on it, it's not necessarily a thing that any of these governments can enforce, but it's kind of it's multifaceted. I'll go through a couple of the bullet points.
You beg bullet points. I'm going to get whiskey.
One of the points is end poverty in all its forms everywhere. Now, again, the contrast in what they came up with back in 92 in Brazil.
Tell them, Dave.
And what some theorists believe they really mean. So one point is they want to end poverty. Some people think that translates to put everyone on government welfare, food stamps, housing subsidies, and handouts, and make them obedient slaves to global government. They don't want anybody to have upward mobility to help themselves.
They're not going to end poverty.
No.
Because then who's going to do all the work?
Exactly. Instead, teach mass victimization and obedience to a government that provides monthly allowance money for basic essentials like food and medicine. So, so they say they're trying to end poverty, and people who oppose Agenda 21 say, no, that just means they want to make us all slaves. Another one is end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. Translation, invade the entire planet with GMOs and Monsanto's patented seeds while increasing the use of deadly herbicides under the false claim of increased output of food crops. So, I mean, yeah, you can end hunger if Monsanto has its way and every piece of food on the face of the earth is genetically modified.
Come in. You're doing good.
But yeah, so like, all right, well, that's the second point there, the food. Like, if you want to control a population, if you want to control civilization, mm-hmm. then you control their food and water. You know, it, under the guise of like, hey, we're going to end hunger, you know, Monsanto is going to come in here with all the GMOs.
Going to end hunger by killing all the hungry people.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
That's my – you know what? That is the weird – like I see the side of like without being – like I feel bad that we have to give the preface like without knowing about all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's implied.
Yeah. I guess that should be implied. God forbid there's one new listener like these guys don't know what they're talking about. Well, fucking yeah. But if you can – all right. The whole Monsanto thing and fucking like I see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. I see the
– Yeah.
You know, oh, it's the manipulating the genetics, and then we can. But also, if you could just make a fucking onion that feeds mm-hmm. 30 people.
Man, it's a big onion.
That's a good thing. I love, yeah.
Yeah, well, I like how you used onion as an example.
I was trying to think of like, I was like tomato, but then I kept thinking about the squishy bits in a tomato. And then you just have so much of that squishy bit.
Imagine a 25-pound tomato.
Ugh. How do they make, how do they make, like when you just get like diced tomatoes, how is it just the good fleshy part, not all the goop?
I don't know.
Like strain out the goop, like the seedy mucousy part.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
When you get pico de gallo and it's all just them delicious chunks of tomato, and none of the fucking snot. Is that Monsanto?
I don't know. Probably.
Well, all right. So eliminate the hungry people. You don't have hunger anymore.
Well, just you eliminate them.
Who's the working class? Who do they keep? Like, is that implied slavery then?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's implied slavery because
somebody's going to make the shit.
Well, you would have you'd have 1% of the population would be the super rich and powerful, and there would be no middle class, and then the rest would be the slaves and the workers. There'd be no middle class. Extreme lower class and extreme upper class.
Would it be extreme, or in that lesser population, everybody's got more space, everybody's got more land. Yeah, you're still working to serve the 1%. And would the 1% be a diabolical ruling class that's whipping the 99%? Because I think that at that point you'd have to understand like 99% of the population can just fucking trounce you. I mean, with that few people, that's like saying, all right, here's 10 people in a room. One person is getting all the money and the rest of you work for them.
Well, I mean, think of a prison, you know. A prison has many more prisoners than they do actual guards, but yet due to weapons and concrete and bars, they've somehow
okay. But I'm trying to think of an ideal outcome of this where it's God forbid everybody does share in the wealth, so the 1%'s uber rich but everybody's doing well. Now, is it an unrest, some kind of keeping up with the Joneses things in the like, imagine that when your farmers are treated with the same sort of value as your electricians, as your mechanics, as your teachers, as your, you know, everybody's treated the same. I guess that's communism.
Some people might say that's a utopia.
Yeah, but how do you, again, it's a mental state. How do you wash out the idea of wanting more? How do you subscribe to a philosophy? How do you get people to subscribe to a global communism or socialism?
You just remove the possibility of it.
Oh, man.
You remove the possibility of any upward mobility and some sort of socialist ideology of where, you know, redistribution of wealth. We're all on the same team. Everything goes in the same pot. We're all just trying to survive and live well. I'm not saying – I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I think that's part of the mentality of the people that want to enforce this.
So that's the only ideal way that this kind of Agenda 21 would work, with a small population left on Earth.
Yeah, and I think
But that's not socialism if there's still a 1% that owns everything.
That's true. That's true. And I think the 1%, the NWO, I think that's their motive is, you know, to make the world better for themselves, and then anybody left over, you know, those are the working class folks that will get their hands dirty and do all the work we don't want to do, or we'll pay them to do or order them to do. Another component to it, and this is pretty interesting, the concept of mega cities. Some people think that the NWO is kind of setting everything up for mega cities, meaning – all right, let's just talk about America, not necessarily in a global concept. But like, some people think that the NWO is trying to set America up to where everybody, the remaining population, those who haven't been killed off by vaccines and chemtrails and unnecessary wars, everybody will live in about one of 10 to 12 megacities. And you could just kind of go ahead and assume, you know.
Tell that to Asheville, North Carolina.
Assume, you know, some of what cities those might be, L.A., New York, Chicago, Boston, you know, maybe Dallas, Houston, whatever. But meaning that part of what Agenda 21 wants to do is get rid of, like, personal land ownership. They want to get rid of public roadways. They want to get rid of automobiles. They want you to be dependent on government in terms of transportation and housing. And these megacities, and I mentioned this on the last episode, but like they want to build up these megacities to where they put everybody in high-rise apartment buildings near public transit to where you don't need – you don't need automobiles. You know, you walk to work.
Can't escape.
Walk to the store. Yes, keep us all herded in the same general areas. And, you know, I mean, and you can spend.
It all makes me want to live by water.
Yeah. Makes me want to live up on a mountain.
But a mountain's still Regis. Mountain's still part of a country.
Yeah. Water, you can escape.
I know nothing of the sea. I'll never make it.
I don't know anything about the sea either. But yeah, these megacities.
Let's learn about the sea, Dave.
Yeah.
Stop fucking around. Stop fucking around like some landlubbers.
But
I always thought it was landlubbers. It's landlubber. I'm a landlubber. I love the land. That's not the phrase.
I've never heard the phrase landlubber. What is a landlubber? That's a thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, these megacities are interesting because, I mean, it's already happening. Well, some people will tell you that it's already happening now. Like, there's some documentaries on YouTube where, like, they're driving around L.A. and New York and Houston. And anytime there's a new development, they're like, look, they call them stack 'em and pack 'em. Oh, they're building some new high-rise apartments. Just stack 'em and pack 'em. They're trying to herd us all in like cattle.
Yeah, it's amazing. So. People would want to live in a city instead of the fucking wasteland of the suburbs where I'm from. I can't believe the suburbs aren't luring people out of the city.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But so I mean it just depends on how you look at it.
You want to decide between an IHOP and an Applebee's? Ooh, I can't believe we're not getting them out of the city.
That is a mentality, especially coming from the South. That's the just the mentality of like, why would anybody want to live anyway other than the way I'm living?
Yeah, it's not just the South. That's all over. It's either that's the thing about the suburbs. Country's boring, city's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I want to see houses that are look exactly like mine. Go to that grocery store. We go to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. I know these people. There's a sense of security. Whether it's true or false, there's a sense of security.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Familiarity.
So, yeah.
Security.
That's where you live. When you got a job, but you know, that is in a city or something. But yeah, you don't want to raise your family. I want to mow my yard. I get it, man. I get wanting a yard, at least. Yards are cool.
I'd like to have a yard.
Now look at that. That's the appeal. You live in a city. Okay,
I'd like to have a bathroom.
Yeah, okay. You're dealing with an exceptional situation where a farmer only has a yard. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I wish I had somebody to talk to. And someone in a city is like, I wish nobody would talk to me today.
That's true.
I just want a yard. Yeah. And the suburbs offered that middle.
That's true.
And you go to the suburbs and you're like, wow, this DJ mix of the two things sucks. But it doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. You could have somebody who doesn't have the small-mindedness of the country and still like, yeah, I'll go to the city, or I still do cool things in my house and I do fun stuff, and I'll go to the city for entertainment and I live close enough. But when I'm done with that, I can come home and sit in my yard and look at the stars and be all right, and I have a little bit of that. And you could have the people that understand how to like – yeah, I got a small yard, but I made it jungly and cool with all the plants and all this, and I knew how to take care of the land around me to make it beautiful and to make it seem more peaceful than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done well. I shit on the suburbs all the time. It can be done. It can be done righteously.
Well, I think the quandary is whatever you currently have, the other one looks, you know, the grass is always greener.
True.
You live too long in the city. Well, and it's true for me. I won't speak for you, but when I'm in L.A. too long, it's like, oh, man, I got to get out on the road. I got to tour. I got to see the country.
Yeah.
And then when I'm on the road too long, I used to do these like 2 or 3 month long tours.
Yeah, I
want
to just
like,
go home.
Just want to go home. Just want to get back to the city. You know, so I think it's for, you know, the average person, I think whatever you don't have is what looks desirable.
Grass is greener, but in that sentence, it's grass. It's not the sidewalks fucking grayer on the other side. Boy, did I figure it out.
You did. Well, let's just run down real quick.
This is just another episode.
You want to do another episode on this?
Yeah.
Because I got a bunch more shit we can get into.
We licked the tip on it.
All right. Well,
we teased it.
Should I hold on to the ways the government's trying to kill us?
Yeah, this has so many more areas.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll stop it there. Next episode,
we got a lot to talk about.
We'll get back into, I'll get more detailed on how the NWA is trying to kill us.
And
there's a lot of ways they're doing it.
Well, fucking yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see how drunk we can be, the Patreon. Katie asking me if we just try to log into Patreon. Yes. I don't have it set up.
She watches that shit like a hawk.
I know. She's like, do you try to get on there? I'm like, yeah, it was me. I'm trying to access these Q&As.
By the way, shout out to our producer, Katie Levine, who does a great job. Just a good gal, too. Just a cool chick.
She's busting her ass.
She's does any of the technical shit she handles. So I really don't think the Boogie Monster would exist without her. Imagine you and I trying to figure out how to...
No, we would have fucking quit after one effort of uploading it to iTunes. I don't even know how it works.
All right. Well, we'll put a pin in that and get back to it next week. But, I mean, it's such a broad topic.
Yeah. Remember, this Thanksgiving, looking at your family, who shouldn't be there? NWO forever. Control that population. Cranberry sauce for only 5 out of 8 motherfuckers this Thanksgiving. Manilas.
Oh, God.
What? Too much?
Nilas.
That took.
That took. Well. People like that. Let's change gears real quick. Let's give a couple shout-outs to people who send us shit. By the way, if you want to send – people have been sending us a bunch of crazy shit.
They don't have to.
You don't have to, but it is much appreciated.
What else do we get?
We got all kinds of shit. Nicholas Hall, he sent us 12 jars of salsa.
How am I going to eat all that salsa?
12 jars of salsa. Nicholas Hall out of Fort Collins, Colorado. I guess his email said he makes salsa for a living, which that's cool.
Well, fucking Nick Hall hit me up. I'll be in Fort Collins.
Yeah. So, he sent us fucking all kinds of salsa, peach salsa, pineapple salsa, green chili salsa, chipotle salsa, all kinds of shit.
Dave, have you ever put salsa on meat?
On a what?
On meat.
Salsa on meat. I mean, I put it in an omelet all the time.
You ever put it in a taco?
Yeah, I put
you
salsa.
You ever put it in a burrito?
No, I'm not that adventurous.
But yet cranberry sauce on turkey is so foreign to you.
Yeah, because salsa is not a gelatinous, bitter, fruity, mushy bullshit thing.
That's not what. All right. I was trying to make a point.
Exactly
what it is. I was trying to make a point.
Also, shout out. I meant to do this weeks ago. Ash Sands, she's the one that sent us the bourbon caramel cheesecake.
Oh, which I enjoyed none of.
Well, because it had an expiration date and you were out of town, so I was forced to maybe eat the whole thing. But, man, that was awesome. Homemade bourbon caramel cheesecake.
Did you eat the whole cheesecake?
I didn't eat the whole thing, but...
Did the missus eat some?
Between me and the missus, we polished it off.
All right, I'm glad you shared it.
Oh, yeah.
A few days. I'm glad there wasn't just, like, a cheesecake when you could see the slices stop happening and there's just fork marks and then just, like, 3 fingers into it.
Oh, man, it was like a bunch of coyotes got a hold of it, man. It was It was violent.
I could eat a cheesecake crust out of the store.
Oh, man. That's the thing, too. This one, she had this crazy, like, I don't know if it was graham cracker. It had some sort of crust on the bottom. Oh, man. And kind of the edges were kind of toasted.
I'm glad you enjoyed all of that, Dave.
Man, it was so good. Thank you, Ash.
Thanks, Ash.
Very good. Hey, it's not my fault that you were out of town. You want to do a recipe real quick?
Is it for cranberry sauce?
No, absolutely not. It is for Thanksgiving, though. If you're going to cook a turkey, if you're going to... All right, I'll save this rant for another day, but I do think turkey and dressing... I think Thanksgiving should be served like... It should just be on the menu at restaurants. Like turkey and dressings, you know, stuff like that.
Stovetop, like stuffing. Oh, man. I love stuffing. Yeah. Even cheap-ass stuffing.
Absolutely. But if you're going to go to all the trouble to roast a big-ass turkey, make sure you brine that shit. You got to brine the turkey because if you don't brine it, that's when that shit gets dried out. If you brine it properly, it'll be all juicy. Won't dry out. Real basic turkey brine.
Here's Shout out to everybody burning themselves trying to deep fry a turkey this year, by the way. I love those news reports of people's houses burning.
Yeah.
Man, it's sad, but it's also like the concept of displacement
on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving takes homes away from so many.
Yeah, do it outdoors on concrete, away from any vegetation.
Also, displacement. Worry about displacement.
Turkey brine, all right? Real basic turkey brine. Get you a cooler. You need like at least a five-gallon cooler. All right, here's what we do. We put 2 gallons of water, 2 cups of kosher salt, 2 tablespoons of black pepper, 2 tablespoons of smoked paprika, 1 cup of sugar. Get you a bunch of herbs, 4 sprigs of rosemary, 4 sprigs of thyme. Get you 4 bulbs of crushed garlic. You don't have to chop it up or anything. You ain't even got to take it out of the – you ain't got to peel the skin. Just kind of crush it. You know how to crush garlic. You pull it off the bulb, put it on the table, smash it with your knife.
Cut the ends off of the garlic bits, right?
Well, not for this. Normally you would. You'd cut the little root part off.
I had 2 cents.
No, that was good. No
recipe for once in my life.
No, in any other recipe you'd be right. But since we're not – this is just a brine. Get you 3 or 4 lemons, quarter those up. 3 or 4 oranges, quarter that shit up. 3 or 4 onions, quarter that shit up.
Oranges and onions?
Yeah. And, mix all that shit together. Put it in a 5-gallon cooler.
Like when a priest gets mad. Oranges and onions!
Put the turkey down in the cooler. And then what you want to do is you want to take like a plate or a cookie sheet, baking pan, something. Put it on top of the turkey. And then put something to weight it down. What I normally do, just get you a 6-pack of bottled water.
Some diving weights.
Yes.
Pull a belt on it.
Any type of weight would work. If you have a 5-pound plate or a 10-pound plate of
put a little jacket
weight
on and then put rocks in the pockets like it's the saddest turkey ever.
Give it some concrete boots.
Yeah.
So put the turkey down in it, and to hold it down to keep it submerged, put a plate or a cookie sheet on top, and then just get you like a 6-pack of bottled water and throw that on top. That'll keep it down. And 24 to 48 hours, and just let that shit brine and marinate, and oh boy. Then pull it out, pat it dry, and then do whatever you're going to do as far as the roasting. I'll give you one extra tip when you're going to roast it. Slather that shit in real butter or mayonnaise. Slather it in butter or mayonnaise.
Rub down the whole turkey in
Rub
mayonnaise?
Rub down the whole fucking turkey in mayonnaise and or butter. Trust me.
Like porno massage that
yes,
thing in mayonnaise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
Good times. Good times. Yeah.
Listeners note, Dave made deep eye contact on the second good times. So if I were you, I'd rub the fuck out of that turkey with some mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise or butter? With the brine and that, you're going to have your moist-ass turkey. Why do people not like the word moist? Moist is always a good thing. What's something that gets moist that's not good?
Clothing.
I don't mind it.
Dave. We need to defend this episode. Moist... I think damp is the word when it's negative. Like, oh, what a damp cake.
But people don't like the word moist. Some people don't.
That's a fucking hack comedy bit.
Mm-hmm.
Moist is a gross word. Because sometimes it seems like a sexy bit. It's like fucking, it's old comedy hack shit. Moist for a positive wetness, damp for a negative wetness. Moist diaper, bad. Damp diaper, still bad, but like you know what it means. It means somebody's pissed in it. When you say moist diaper, it's like, oh, there's cake in my diaper. Moist cake, good. Damp cake, somebody pissed on the cake. Fucking grow up, everybody. We know what it means.
Well, that puts that one to bed.
Well, this Q&A episode is going to be a real kicker.
It's going to be good. Before we get out of here, comic of the week. You okay?
Jeez. I'm drinking so many drinks.
Comic of the week this week.
Who is it?
This lady is one of my absolute favorites. And I'm hesitant to say one of the funniest. You're not supposed
don't
to say.
Tell him. Don't tell him. She's no, funny. That's
no,
it.
No, I'm episode. Hesitant to say one of the funniest female. You're not supposed to. Who's one of the funniest comics, male or female? Fucking.
We're all ranked the same.
Amber Nelson.
Yeah.
Do you know Amber?
God. I don't know her well.
I don't know her well either. I've met her a few times.
The limited times I've seen her, she has crushed the show.
Fucking comedy Godzilla. She's she just, like we were talking about Deb DiGiovanni, just one of those where, like, I'd rather not follow her. Like, just fucking slays.
When I could watch somebody where there's no conscious, like, where somebody's pausing to think of the thing they were going to talk about next, mm-hmm. and it's just this... a beratement
mm-hmm.
of punchlines.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, you're not, this is all connected. There's no pause. And like, here's yeah. another bit. Oh, here's a bit. It's just like, nope, this is going to keep going.
Going to assault you with jokes.
Yes.
Amber Nelson, just a monster. I don't believe she has an album or a special out. She either was or still is in the sketch group Murder Fist, who we've talked about, Henry Zebrowski and that yeah. crew. Murder Fist. She's got a bunch of stuff on YouTube. We were talking about. I don't know if I should say it because I don't know if they're still together. I'm hoping they're still together.
Led Zeppelin.
She's with. She's partner up with old Nick Vatterott. And talk about they need to procreate for the sake of comedy. Because I can imagine how funny.
Well, that goes
kid.
Against our whole population well, control true. Support. Well, you telling comedy couples to have kids.
People that talented should have kids.
Well, when we get into the eugenics episode, mm-hmm. we can talk about ideal couples who should procreate.
Yeah. But yeah, look up Amber Nelson. She tours around some. I don't know if she's originally, but she was in New York for many years. Now she's out here. Been out here just a short time. But any LA folks, look her up. You can see her, you know, around town. And yeah, support Amber Nelson, comic of the week. Just one of the funniest fucking human beings I've ever met. Just she crushes. So
hell
goddamn
yeah.
funny.
What are you doing this Thanksgiving weekend, Dave? Are you doing any shows or fun stuff in Los Angeles?
No.
Just sweating the in-laws. All
mm-hmm.
right.
Yep. Nothing. Nope. Nothing.
All right. Well, tonight I'll be at Thalia Hall. Sold out. Fucking deal with it.
Wow. Good job, buddy.
Thanks if you're coming. Fuck you if you didn't get tickets. Look who didn't believe Kyle Kinane could sell out a place. Eat my ass.
What's what kind of venue is that?
It's a theater.
Yeah, oh, you saw that theater?
A theater.
Hometown. Right on.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
So
that's exciting.
Every time somebody's like, oh, I can't believe it's sold out. Yeah, suck my dick.
Got any Chicago folks opening up?
I am rolling the dice on this show. I have in the lineup, I got two pals opening for me because the guy who's supposed to open for me, who I didn't know well, got caught up being a fucking creep to women. Two shows in Chicago where people are like, oh, this fell out because so-and-so's a creep. Oh, yeah, this guy's dipping out because he's a creep. Okay, what the fuck, Chicago comedy? Keep your dick in your pants and just write jokes, you fucking perverts. So this is a hometown talent show. I got a guy, Joel Chamara, who I think I may have met once, but he's recommended by Mark Geary, booker extraordinaire of Chicago since I started comedy. And I was like, who do I get now? So-and-so had to dip. And I was like, oh, what do I want? He's like, try Joel. He's a poet. I'm like, wait, Chamara, I know that name. I went to school with his older sister, I think. I'm like, I know the last name. Turns out it is. It's someone I went to high school with's younger brother, and he's a poet and teaches writing at I forget which university. And so he's going to do some poems, like fun poems. I don't know if they're fun. I'm not going to dictate what he needs to do. But I'm having him do it. And then a guy I grew up with who's – one of the sweetest, most amazing artists I know is my pal Chris Santiago, who in the last couple of years is like, yeah, I've been doing stand-up. I'm like, really? Chris was maybe in a Christian cult when we went to high school. He's also one of the weirdest sort of outsider artists. He had lung problems in high school, so he had to stay home for months. So he just ordered a case of like those pull apart chopsticks, and then built a pair of six foot tall chopsticks out of the pull apart fast food chopsticks. Like, just like when somebody's an artist, like, oh, I can technically paint a picture, but when somebody just looks at objects, going like, I'm gonna make a thing with that.
Wow.
Like, what he wanted for graduation, his high school graduation present, is he wanted his parents to rent him a billboard so he could paint on the billboard what the billboard was covering up. Like, if a billboard was in front of trees, he wanted to go and just paint the trees the billboard. I'm like, I've never seen his comedy, but I'm like, whatever you're doing, I've been on board with it for 25 years. Come on and do some stand-up. Nice. So, we're going to fucking party tonight.
That's awesome, man.
And if you didn't get tickets, you're shit out of luck.
Wow.
And then tomorrow night, go see Pegboy and the Bullweevils at the Chop Shop.
You going to that? I'm
going. Hell yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
A couple bands that have inspired me to do what I'm doing.
Right on. Well, I got some. I got a small tour coming up in a couple of weeks, December. So dumbdavestone.com. It's got all the dates.
Dumb Dave Stone.
Doing Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, the Carolinas, even doing Richmond, Virginia. So, yeah, I think I got 12 or 13 dates in a couple of weeks there in December. So, yeah, come out and see a show and holler at your boy. That's it, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. Eat a bunch. Don't eat. Stay away from the cranberry shit.
Fuck that, man. Eat all the cranberry sauce you want.
I'm just going to get
it's a staple of America.
Gravy smoothie.
The Boogie Monster.